Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning into this week's message. My name is Alessandra, and I'm part of the team here at Friends Church. Everything we do around here depends 100% on the generous donations of our local and online community. That's people just like you who believe that life is really about leaving a positive mark on our world. So if you love what Friends Church is up to, I'd like to encourage you to contribute by going to friendschurch.ca. With that, let's jump into this week's message.
Normally, I don't get to come up here and chat about charitable giving. Last minute, we changed the schedule, so I felt it was my turn. One of the things they've been asking us to do is to share our story of why Friends Church. Why do we donate to this? Because, like you, I go to Friends Church. Sometimes I stand up here and I talk to you guys, but the reality is I'm just like you. I am challenged by the messages. I try and live this out in my life. I donate through Friends Church to try and make this world a better place. And the other day, I had this Friends Church moment. You know, we talk a lot about the work we do to make our world a little bit better. So I'm out dirt biking and with a bunch of guys who are new. In dirt biking culture, whoever's fastest gets to roost the guy behind you. And roost means you get to like hit the gas and then you shoot stones at them. So the guy at the back always just gets pounded, right? And I had this moment, I'm at the top of a hill and I look at one of the guys at the bottom of the hill and he can't get up. He's been lifting his bike up, he's exhausted. You know, it's been fairly casual ride for me. And I had this kind of Friend Church moment where all of a sudden there was a voice in my head that says, get your sorry ass down there and help him. And I kind of just like stumbled down the hill. I'm in my gear, so I'm falling out. And I spent the next probably 45 minutes helping guys through this section. And I thought, would I have done that without this thing that we call Friend Church? It wouldn't have happened. But there's something about this place. And for you guys, it's as we kind of challenge each other. For me, it's even before this, as I'm looking at like, why do we do what we do? How do we make this world better? How do we get healthier so we have capacity? It's for those moments. A friend of mine comes to Friend Church. He comes to me. He's got this like amazing dad moment. He's like, okay, dude, I just did this with my daughter and it was like the most amazing parenting moment I've ever had. So we're cheering him on, you know. And then he says this line at the end. He says, that never would have happened without Friend Church. I would have never known what to do in that moment. So when you ask me, why do I donate to Friends Church? It's for the stories that kick my ass and make me make the world a better place. And why do I give a good chunk of my life to being here on stage? It's because I want to inspire people like my buddy to say, you know what? I'm a better person because of this place, and my daughter's life is better. I look at Friend Church as kind of this thing that spreads, right? It happens in this moment, but it spreads out from us. And it goes into my dirt biking buddies, my buddy's daughter, into the world around us. And so when I say, invite you to donate money, I'm not saying donate it to Friend Church. I'm saying donate it through Friend Church. Because whatever dollar you give to us, to this place, comes through this place into your worlds, into the worlds around you, into everyone you touch. So on behalf of everyone whose face is Friends Church, and mine is one of them, I want to say thank you for all that you do to support this place. But more than that, I want to say thank you for your generosity that changes the world all around us. Because I don't know, right now, I think we need more Friends Church moments everywhere. So if you're a donor at Friends Church, thank you. We've come through an incredibly hard time, and you've been incredibly supportive. And thank you. It's our support has been beyond our imagination. And for those of you who are looking for a place to make the world better, I want to invite you to think about this. Donate through Friend Church into my dirt bike buddies, into my friend's daughter, into everyone's lives. Because I think it makes a difference. If you want to donate, you can donate. There's a couple different options. Mobile app, online, friendchurch.ca, hit the donate button. I think it's a great place to donate to. Okay, let me transition. Once in a while, we get to have a new voice on stage, and it's always, I find, the new voices bring us something that I just never thought of, right? I couldn't get. There's just something more. When you have more voices on stage, there's just something more that comes out. And today, we get a little bit of something more. I've listened to Trevor's message already, and it's a good one. So let me invite you all to give a big round of applause.
Thanks, Vince. Thank you. Good morning, everyone, to those physically here and those virtually here. It's great to have you both in our audience. Okay, if you haven't met me before, I'm going to give you the 30-second Trevor Dreher rundown. You ready for it? Good morning. I'm a native Calgarian. I'm a super avid reader. If you have a science fiction recommendation or a self-help book, please come talk to me afterwards. That's what I like. I am a runner, and I've been married to my lovely wife, Yvonne, for 24 years. Today is our anniversary. She's so happy you guys could all do that for her. She really loves that attention, but she deserves it because 24 years with me, that's a big deal. I'm the proud father of my 16-year-old son, Nathaniel, who kindly slows down when he runs with his papa. I really appreciate that. And I think for this message in particular, you need to know I'm a super optimistic, smiley, huggy guy. Okay. I'm going to notch that down a little bit, but I think why for this message? I'm so happy, actually. One of my friends who knows me really well said, you know, Trevor, when I first met you, I thought, no one's that happy. You're full of crap. I'm like, oh, thanks. But, and the but is important here, but I see you create a lot of structures in your life to bring that happiness out. That's the kind of compliment when someone really sees you. You're like, wow, that's right. But you need to know all that about me because that's not what I'm going to talk about today. That's not even close to what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to talk about our shadow selves. I'm going to talk about those parts of us that we aren't proud of, because when we're operating from that shadow self, it's not how we want to be. So you're getting this energetic, happy person, and I'm going to challenge you at the end of this to really embrace your shadow selves. I hope you're paying attention to my first impression, because I think it's the impression I want you to have from me. And the impression I want you to have is, and it's almost perfect, I don't cast any shadows. So if you guys all have that impression of me, I'd like you to keep that impression. That's perfect. But I don't think I'm alone in this idea of creating this perfect image. We see it on all our virtual platforms. What do we share with people? Hey, when we're volunteering, we're doing great things. That's the images we share. We don't want to cast any shadows. Because here's what I want you to think about me. I want you to all to think, he's a good person. Thanks, guys. But I want you to turn this around. If someone asked you, are you a good person? How would you answer that? How would you hope people would answer that about you? Don't we all want to be known as just good people? What lengths will we go to come across as a good person? For me, when Vince and Jeff approached me, they said, hey, we got this message. We want to talk about the dark sides of personality and how we can integrate that. And I said, oh, wrong guy. Shadows? Pfft, I don't have any shadows. I'm good. I'm all good. Except, I deal with legal documents all the time. Literally, in financial planning, we're dealing with people's life savings. So it makes sense that we've got a lot of paperwork. I get that. Except for this 5-page form I have to do every year. And I can already feel my blood pressure going up as I talk about this form. You see, the form's called Outside Business Activities. And every year they pass it across to me, and people are shaking, because what they're going to ask me about in 5 detailed pages per organization I volunteer at, exactly what's going on in that organization. And it's just endless question after endless question. It has nothing to do with anything. This has gotten to the point that management is actually reluctant to send me that email, even though legally I have to fill out the document. My team members are like, oh God, here it comes again. Trevor's gonna lose his stuff. But I lose it because no one ever follows up. And no one's ever been denied doing volunteering, and I'm asked each year. That wasn't even hyperbole, guys. I had to do this form in June, and I lost my stuff. Just lost it. Now, paperwork for me, that makes no sense. It triggers anger. I get frustrated, and I have less than kind words in conversations. Okay, maybe paperwork doesn't bug you. Can I ask, what sets you off? What about bad drivers? You know, the kind who forgot what signal lights were for, or weren't actually braking, or they were zipping through a playground zone. Do you find your blood pressure goes up a little bit? What about when your partner wants to talk again about your family? Or what if your partner wants to talk about money or sex? Any things go on in that one? What if someone says, I support Trump? Any reaction there? Like, anything come up? Right now, think about this one. Someone tells you, I'm an anti-vaxxer. I don't believe in vaccines. Where's your head go? What happens to your body? What do you feel coming up? Where can you feel your emotions just right to the surface? And then it's not just the emotion. There's behaviors that are coming. You snap. Bad drivers. Do you roll down your window and instruct them in really loud voices how they should drive better? Do you tailgate up really close to just let them know they weren't doing well? Or do you help them with various hand gestures about how they should drive better in the future? That conversation with a partner. When they want to talk about your family again, do you walk out of the room? Does that conversation start at a yell? If someone says, hey, I support Trump. After your head stops exploding, can you even talk to them? Will you listen to anything else they have to say? And in COVID, someone says they're an anti-vaxxer, and you're thinking, are you in the 21st century? Like, we've had, like, what are you, where are you going? What behaviors start to cycle? In your life, what sets you off? What triggers those shadows? Those parts not proud of, because we don't like how we behave when we're operating, even though we're good people, right? But once we start operating from that spot, where's our patience? Where's our patience for that driver? Has it completely disappeared? Has kindness vanished? Do we even remember how to be kind in that situation anymore? And compassion. Alessandra was talking about that empathy for listening to someone else's piece. Have we totally zoned out? In your own life, can I ask just for a moment, where does that happen for you? It's probably not legal forms. That's mine. But where does that happen for you? For me, that terrible behavior around that five-page form, you know how I often dismiss it? I say it's small. It's a small shadow. What about all those big mistakes people make? Oh my goodness, I'm not doing any of that stuff. You know, the big shadows. I'm not sure there's such thing as a small shadow. I'm not sure there's such thing as a small shadow. Because I'd ask you to consider that there may not be any small shadows. Because if I allow myself, if we allow ourselves to say that's a small shadow, that may be the first steps for us to justify why it's okay for us to act that way. Even though we know it's wrong. Oh, small. Remember, when I was asked to share this message, I don't have any shadows. That's pretty naive, I think. I think I would like to say it this way. I don't have any shadows that I want to acknowledge. And I don't think I'm alone in sort of dismissing this. You know, when you look into this field, one of the funny things that comes up to me is a psychologist called Carl Jung. And thanks, Andy, for this one. Jung is the person who I always know about the most positive parts of psychology. He started saying what makes people really good, what makes them their best and most fulfilled selves. And you know what's really funny about that? He had a lot of things to say about shadows. Someone who's talking about us being our best, we have to talk about our shadows. And he says it this way. One doesn't become enlightened by imagining figures of light, but by making the darkness conscious. Wow. So as much as we might want to run away from our shadows, Jung seems to be sharing the idea that in order to be a better person, to do what Vince was saying, and to make our world better around us, one of those paths is bringing those dark, ugly parts forward into the light. And see what does that shadow do. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands because this is a terrible show, but is everyone familiar with Bridezilla? If you've missed Bridezilla, I can't even show you a clip because it will just, it's like that train wreck that you're watching that's just about to happen. And while it's called Bridezilla, it could equally be called Groomzilla because everybody is at their worst behavior. The show synopsis, you're planning your dream wedding, and if anything goes wrong, you have permission to yell, to be unkind, to slap people, to not pay vendors. If the flowers are the wrong color, you don't have to be nice to anybody. This is about people getting ready for the big day, for their wedding day. And if it's not exactly up to their dreams, both the bride and the groom are total a-holes. What is up with that? When you look at that, when I watch the show, I do watch the show, I'm sorry. I'm like, is no one, what, you can't see that? It's terrible behavior. We wouldn't tolerate it from a kindergarten student. And they're going off. When your shadow comes out, uncontrolled, unhindered, what's the fallout? You know that bad driver we cursed at? What's the rest of their day like? Like after we yelled at somebody, we don't know what was going on in their life that day. What's the fallout for them? You want to talk about your partner. If I walk away from that tough conversation, if we do, what damage have we done to that relationship? Like, what happens next? When we dismiss someone because we totally disagree with their worldview, what's the rest of that interaction look like? What have we done? When the shadows are out and unchecked in my life, there's damage. Look at that silly five-page form. There is a whole group of people who literally dread sending me an email. An email. Because of a silly form. That doesn't, I'm not making my world better with that type of thing. That's crazy. Now, I watched a recent episode of Bridezilla again, and it was a follow-up 2 years later. Do you guys have any guesses how those relationships are working out? It was a disaster, as you can imagine. And I get it. I don't want to look at the ugly parts of my life. Does anyone want to spend the time thinking about when I'm not a good person and say, oh, this is fun. Let's do some examination. And maybe this is why, one of the reasons at least, it's tough to be a better person. Because do I really want to look at the shadows? Those parts where I'm not proud of. They don't fit. And how do we hide our shadows from ourselves? You know, I'm getting ready for this message and I sit down with my good friend Vince Fowler. And I was sharing a cable story. It was quite a long, rambling tale. A dozen years ago, free cable, disconnect, blah, 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 blah. And Vince, being a good friend, he listened. And then he asked me, he said, Trevor, do you remember that colleague you were telling me about in January this year? And I'm like, colleague. I was blank. He said, do you remember the one who wasn't doing his job as a planner? Oh, yeah, I remember that guy. What an SOB. Worked for the client for 3 years. Hadn't created a plan for him. I'm like, we're financial planners. You should have created a plan. So the client actually reached out to him and say, hey, Trevor's actually gotten together with us. He created a plan by the third meeting, not third year, and we'd like to change. Crickets. Don't hear back from him. So I'm dialoguing back and forth. I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'll just reach out to him. So I send him an email. And now because there's some money involved, it didn't take him 10 days. It took him 10 minutes to get back to me. 10 minutes. Oh, my goodness gracious. The guy can't do his job. Oh, that guy, Vince, is that who we're talking about? And Vince is just watching me. We're in a restaurant. I'm losing my stuff. And he's just calm. And he said, Trevor, are you noticing a pattern here? No, Vince, what are you talking about? He said, how about when a company or person doesn't live up to your standards? What happens when you believe someone's incompetent? Uh-oh. Oh, no. Well, let me tell you what happens. I don't have to have any kindness for you because you're an idiot. I certainly don't have to have any patience with you. You've already used it up. Compassion, I don't care what your story is. You're not even doing your job. Oh no. My shadow was just right there. I saw what Vince had said with kindness and patience. It's like, I didn't notice this pattern until he pointed it out. I totally justified that terrible behavior. Wow. Because I was dealing with incompetence. And I don't have to be a good person anymore. How fragile is that idea of a good person? How fragile? And how important is it protecting that image that we're good people? I didn't see it. It took a friend. Because shadows, they hide. They hide. If you haven't sort of caught maybe your shadow yet, I'm just going to ask you to just do a little bit of breathing and just thinking with me. It's not meant to be a sharing exercise, so you don't have to tell anybody else after this. But I want us to look for our shadow here today. Those parts of ourselves that we're not proud of because we don't like how we behave when we're operating. I want you just to feel if your emotions come up and if there's a reel that starts going when I say, what do you think about rich people? How do you behave around rich people? I'm going to reverse that. What do you think about poor people? How do you behave around poor people? What do you think if you see someone who's overweight, who's fat? How do you behave around that person? What about your parents? Do your parents do a good job? Are they doing a good job? How do you behave to your parents? What about someone who's got the wrong political view? You know, the wrong political view. How do you treat them? When you're thinking about a situation, what situation causes you to just become annoyed like right away? And how do you treat people around you when that situation happens? When I was asking you to say, where does your mind go when I say shadows? Deep breath. We found a shadow. This isn't fun to look at. I get it. Can I ask you to bring some awareness to that shadow? When you're operating in that shadow self, what arguments do you use to convince yourself that it's okay, that your actions are okay? What do you use to feel better when we're not being our best? And what behaviors kind of just happen when the shadow self comes out? Deep breath. And come back into the light. I look at my shadows, I'm not happy about them. When you look at your shadows, where are they helping you justify being less than your best? Like when we talked about the sunrise songs and there were some beautiful things, wouldn't it be great if we could all say, we don't have any shadows? There's nothing on our list. But it's hard work, and I don't think that's true. And when we think about this, there's a great quote from that Jesus guy on this one. That Jesus guy says, anyone can love their family, and I tell you to love your enemy. And I got to just say this. Damn it, Jesus, that's a terrible idea. You look at that in the Bible, and you're like, what does that mean? Well, I think it means if we look at shadows, it's the idea that we have to love people in our lives who drive poorly. I know. Who make us angry. That are not competent. That we don't want to spend time looking at those areas where we're not patient because they frustrate us. Or people who say they support Trump and we're like totally angry with them. Why would Jesus talk about this? Well, I think it's exactly what Jung was talking about. The idea of knowing me, of you knowing you, it's an old idea. Part of that is knowing your enemy and knowing what it is. We want to look at the bright parts of our life. Everybody wants to look at the sunshine. I'm a good provider. I'm a great volunteer. I like to learn. I'm kind. Those are easy, 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 easy parts of the work. And if that's all we had to do to be better people in the world, this world would already look very, very different. We're not there yet. But what's the point of knowing our shadow selves? Like, what is the point? I have little reasons about why I can do certain terrible behaviors at certain times. I think other people have little reasons why they can do terrible behaviors at certain times. If we can become aware of those reasons, you know what we can do? We can start to ask ourselves, do I want to be that type of person that operates with that thinking? Do I want to be the person who operates with that type of thinking? And when we bring that idea forward, we have a much better chance of getting our shadow selves, of being patient, as Jeff was saying, asking questions for people we don't agree with, of being kind. Imagine for a moment, what would your world look like if we acknowledge our shadow selves, but we don't let the behaviors just trigger? What would our world look like? You know, one of the simple themes from this Talking to Strangers theory is the idea of awareness. It's very difficult to change or alter a behavior if you're not even aware of it. Think about this. One of my friends had to point out, oh, you don't like incompetence. Oh, I don't? Yeah, shadows hide. And I want you to consider, though, I want you to consider letting go of a strange idea. And it's a strange idea to tell you to let go of at church. I want you to let go of the idea of being a good person. Yeah, I haven't lost my mind yet. You should let go of being a good person? Yeah. Because I think the idea of a good person, does a good person have shadows? I see that's that potential fragility. You know what a good person would do when they get that 5-page form? They'd fill it out happily. A good person would have been more compassionate to my colleague. Oh, I'm sure he had reasons why it's taken him 3 years to do nothing. My compassion level's still not there. So if we're going to let go of an idea, what can we replace it with? Can I ask you to replace the idea with a goodish person? And the terrible grammar is deliberate. A goodish person. Because I think a goodish person has those attributes that we want from a good person, but I think it also has the ability to say, I'm not perfect. I've got some shadows. You know, social scientist Dolly Chugg actually proposes this idea that a goodish person and working to be a goodish person sets a higher standard than just trying to be a good person. Because a goodish person will make mistakes, will do things for less than noble reasons, will hurt people. But the awareness of our shadows, it allows us to go out and be more patient with people who bother the hell out of us, more supportive to coworkers and families, and more compassionate to those that we feel could have done better, and kinder to those that we don't love, and with those that we do. A goodish person. As we're going out in the world today, it's what I'm asking you to consider, to become aware of our shadows, to acknowledge that our shadows are there, and to be a goodish person anyways. At Friends Church, we want to make the world a better place. Just think about this for a moment. If we acknowledge our shadows, but we don't let those behaviors trigger, where and what does that look like? What about the next time your partner brings up, let's talk about money, and you say, uh-oh, this is trouble. But rather than do what you normally do, you stop it. You take a deep breath, and you listen. You listen with patience. What would happen with your partner? What would happen with them there? The next time someone says, I support Trump. Ooh, I'm not sure how this doesn't trigger you, but maybe it doesn't. But if you know this triggers you, and you stop and you say, hold on a second. Can you help me understand? Like, and with genuine concern and compassion, not to zing them, not to correct them, just to listen. What would happen with the rest of the conversations that day with that person? What would happen as you both go your separate ways after that? How would the world look? The next time a race, COVID, democracy, your kids asking for one more thing? Oh, and you stop and you breathe and you bring kindness and compassion to that conversation. What happens? What happens with our worlds? So we go out today. Can I ask us all to become goodish people who are striving to become aware of our stratos so we can interrupt those triggers? Would your world be better? What about the people around you? Would their world be better? It's not an easy path, but I think it's worth doing. What do you think? Have a great Sunday, guys.